Anybody can wake up, but not all of us can shine. And so what are you, you know, what kind of light are you flashing? Darkness or light? Are you always defeated because you don't believe it? Do you have a hard time to say, Jesus is my Savior and I love Him so? And I'm going to see Him one day and I'm going to bow down before Him and love Him? Or are you just more occupied in what you're going to eat for dinner tonight?
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Ephesians chapter 5 is the text Pastor Rick will be covering today on Cross Reference Radio.
Holiday season, non-holiday season, it's everywhere. And we don't want to do this. You know, here, listen to this. The churches that received rebuke in the New Testament, Galatia, Corinth, Sardis, Laodicea, they deserved the rebukes they received for being lawless, legalistic. Just they were all over the place. Today, we have churches that are worse than them. Don't think that, well, that was for those guys then. We cannot be subject to these things. We can be as defiled and worse. All we have to do is turn our backs on what the Lord says. It's very easy. How do you have a bad relationship with anyone? Very easy. Don't do these things in chapter 5. Any of them. Any relationship. Even the Lord tolerates and in that sense submits to some degree to us. We're sinners. He can wipe us out. Should wipe us out. He does not because of mercy. See, God exercises the things that He calls us to do, and He gives us a multitude of examples throughout the Scriptures. And I'm always perplexed at how many Christians want to just sort of downsize the truth and still retain the right to be called Christian. And it's baffling. Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Okay, that's right. And then He says in verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Set them aside by your truth. They'll be known because they're set to the side by truth." We may fail, we may stumble. But what we're not supposed to do is to pretend that the truth is a lie and a lie is truth. Conduct unbecoming of our Lord and of His flock. He says in verse 12, "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." The unfruitful works of darkness, that's what He is speaking about. Now, we mentioned that we have to contend for the faith. In love, yes, but with an intensity inside to not depart from truth. You can be very kind and very gentle with someone, and inside extremely firm, adamant, unyielding, unmoving to a lie. As I mentioned, in the marriage or any relationship, when you have two people working together, I think it's illustrated by Jonathan and his armor bearer. One would knock them down, the enemy down, the other would spear them. That's not what we're looking to do literally, but what it does illustrate for us is how a couple go about dealing with problems, with things that are against them. They do it together. They're on the same page. They're fighting shoulder to shoulder, side by side. They're in it together, thick or thin. That is what a relationship is supposed to be. Whether it's in a church, with an individual in the Holy Spirit, in a marriage, in a friendship, on any level, that's what it's supposed to be like. Contending earnestly for the faith. Jude 3. "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." from the bottom of that verse in Jude 3, that knocks out anybody coming along saying, I've got some extra New Testament writings here. You know, you don't. It's once delivered. And the apostles were the ones that did it. And if it was not them or someone under their direct care, we're not receiving it. It's a closed canon. There are no new scriptures, no new revelations. In fact, Peter says, no spirit of prophecy is of private interpretation. There's nobody coming along with something they were told only and no one else. And yet we've got entire religions out there that have built themselves in Jesus' name off these very things. How do you do that? Well, you just lie. You just redact God's words. Strike out what you don't like, keep what you like, and make yourself a lot of money. And you'll find sucker enough to come gather at your darn pulpit and listen to what you have to say, as hell is populated by people who say, I don't like what God said. I really prefer this new thing. Okay, I'm getting a little fired up here. Because I was one of those going to hell. I was one of those going to hell because the truth wasn't told. And when he says contend earnestly for the faith, he means with goodness and righteousness and justice. He says exhorting. But he also says that he started out wanting to just talk to them about the sweetness of their salvation. But the Holy Spirit moved him to do otherwise, to speak about the hostilities that confront salvation. And that's why he says, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. He just wanted to share nice things with the Christians. But the Holy Spirit says it's time for war. It's time to do battle with these ideas, these ideologies, these principles, these lifestyles that the flock are cozying up with and having fellowship with. And you've got to deal with it. And so now it's not even shameful in many circles people don't even blush anymore, it seems. Nothing's embarrassing. Sin is so commonplace, you just kind of shrug at it. When I was a steel worker and I grew and began to share my faith early on, I became a steel worker. I was a Christian for maybe a year, if that. And God rescued me from backsliding in that harsh environment. And so as an apprentice in the shanty, getting dressed, all the guys telling jokes and having a good old time, and I just felt the lure of the world, the temptation. I cried out for God to help me. And in a day or two, God sent a friend who's still my friend to this day. And it was an answer to prayer. That is what kept me from going under. But there were times when they would tell use coarse language and foul language and things. And they would say, oh, sorry, because they knew I was a Christian. And I would say, you know, I'd been in the military. I'm not going to, at that point in life, hear something new that's foul. It's like, I could top that. And is that all you got? And so, you know, I would say something like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's nothing new to me. And God rebuked me. He said, you're the salt of the earth. What are you doing? It was him. Blame. It was Eve. It worked for Adam, didn't it? No, it didn't. But anyway, we Christians, we're supposed to be moved by things that are wrong also. Shame, being ashamed is an emotion. It touches a feeling, a nerve with us. But the world, they're dead in their sins. They're dead men don't feel. They're not sensitive to these things. They may have a sense of decency in how they want to be perceived, but it's not because they're offending their Lord and their Savior. And so he says, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things, verse 13, that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. That's what the Lord does. He brings light. This is the condemnation that has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, lest their deeds be exposed. And Jesus says, that's the judgment. So you come to church and you are doing something that is wrong in Jesus' eyes, and he exposes it, and if you begin to scramble to run away from it, this is the condemnation that has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, Jesus says. Don't you be one of them.
He says in verse 14, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Wake up. That's what he says. This book is real because the men who lived these things were real. What gives Paul the right to say such a thing? Turn with me to Ephesians 6, verse 20. And there we find his right to make these declarations. He says, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Now we go back to our text. In other words, I'm in jail because of these things. That's what gives me the right. I'm living the Christian life. And this is not the first time I've been in jail. He doesn't talk about the beatings that he's received and all the other things that have come upon him. So when he encourages this flock, again, they take this letter from Paul and they have it in front of the assembly like we're meeting here now, and the pastor's reading this out loud to everyone. And he says, arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. Now, this Greek phrase here, it says, and Christ will give you light. It's actually, you can equally interpret it, and more properly, I think, and Christ will shine upon you. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Anybody can wake up, but not all of us can shine. And so what are you, you know, what kind of light are you flashing? Darkness or light? Are you always defeated? Because you don't believe it? Do you have a hard time to say, Jesus is my Savior and I love him so? And I'm going to see him one day and I'm going to bow down before him and love him? Or are you just more occupied in what you're going to eat for dinner tonight? You're an Esau if that's the case. You're a man of the earth and not a spiritual being, and you need prayer. And if no matter what you are involved in, no matter what is going on, Jesus never says, oh, okay, well, in that case, don't be like me. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, no, never mind that stuff about truth and righteousness. Oh, no, no, don't look at me. Look at you. Woo-hoo. That's a recipe for destruction. So if I wanted my enemy to fail, what would I tell him? Get your eyes off Jesus and just think about you. And if you're not having fun in life, live to get some fun into your life. And if anybody is going against that, they're wrong, you're right. They're your enemy. That's the voice of the devil. And he speaks. Why does the devil speak? Because he's got an audience. He has people that will listen to him in Christ and out of Christ. Verse 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk cautiously. Don't end up in the wrong side of town. Ecclesiastes, God comes out and tells us that he has no pleasure in fools. And he tells us this, again, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay your vows. Pay up. You said it, do it. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. That's a good directive for any relationship. And so he continues, Paul does, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. To redeem the time means to buy the time, to purchase it. Jesus told the parable of the man who was looking for investments. He found this pearl of great price, got rid of everything so he could get that pearl because he knew what to do with it. He was passionate about it. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I don't have time, but let me take a few, just one verse. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians, very appropriate for all of us as preachers of the gospel. It says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. I mean, that is just so beautiful. I think that it is. I think that is as beautiful as when Paul speaks about the light of Christ, and Christ will shine on you. These are beautiful verses, and they're supposed to have life because we give them life as when we live them out.
And so I cannot spend much more time on verse 16. We'll get back to that in Colossians 4, but redeeming the time, because today is evil. Romans 13, 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And then again in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7, he talks about, if any of you are married, be like you're not married for the kingdom's sake. Now that's not license to create problems. It's not the spirit of it at all. It is alerting us to the severity of the state of things and the ministry that is within our relationships. Verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Wine is a waste, and he is encouraging the individuals to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Listen, Satan's not drunk. In one sense, he's drunk with insanity, yes, but he is very committed to doing what he is all about. Peter tells us to be sober-minded because your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion. That means he's hungry. That's the raw. And he will eat you raw. So I couldn't resist. Drunk turns a man into another kind of person. Drink turns alcohol. Will turn a person into another kind of person. But so will the Holy Spirit. Be consumed by the Holy Spirit. Be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let him turn you into another kind of person. And understand, it's not a one-time event. There's one immersion into Christ, but there are many subsequent Christ immersing you into the Holy Spirit. I baptize you with water, but there comes one mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one baptizing you with the Holy Spirit. When we give our lives to Christ, we are immersed into the Holy Spirit. We are immersed into Christ. We are born again. We are saved. But there's more. It's not enough to just get saved. We must be filled if we're going to do any of these things that we're encouraged to do. To fight the immorality, to contend earnestly for the faith, to know the will of God, to wake up and shine. If we're going to do any of these things, we must be indwelt. That means Christ must immerse us in the Holy Spirit. And so there is salvation and conversion. That's one experience with God. And then there is a subsequent experience, and that is being immersed in the Holy Spirit. This was the case the day of Pentecost. They were saved. They were believers. But they did not have the Spirit. And the sound of a mighty rushing wind came, and they all spoke with tongues as with tongues of fire. And of course, that was the birth of the church. Peter tells us very clearly, this is for us and for generations after us. Okay, I'm taking too much time on this, but he says, being a drunk is a waste. Understand that alcohol stirs up the lower passions of one's nature. And it makes you dumb to the risk and the dangers and the mission. It is something that is entirely self-consuming. It's all about you. I don't know of a case where a person has gotten drunk and everybody has benefited from it. Now, I'm sure there's some twisted way you could twist that. But in reality, it is not good. And now we look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The outcome of being filled with the Spirit is joy, is singing. I mean, we're talking about this. If you just have the sad sack face on all the time and you can never sing songs of joy to the Lord, then you're just singing the blues of the world. You know, my baby done left me, because it's just all about you. And, you know, if that's what you want, have it. Can I still go to heaven singing the blues? Yeah, you can. But who wants to go like that? I want to enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I want to enter his courts with joy. I want to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice. I will be diddy-bopping my way into heaven if I'm allowed. I'll be so happy, about to burst. So I might not be allowed. It may be a big sign. No diddy-bopping. Then it's like, the meek walk. Anyway, sing the songs. That's the result. Singing songs. I'm not making this stuff up. When I come up and I encourage you and say, listen, if you're walking around, you can't say Jesus' name. You can't sing songs. You have no life in you. I don't make this up. It's right here.
Anyone can see it. And if you don't believe it, then say you don't believe it. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. If it's the Lord God, serve the Lord. But if you're going to serve some other fictitious, fake, man-made God, then go do that. That is the idea of the scripture. Take it or leave it. And you say, but I'm weak. Come up for prayer. Get around other Christians. Don't diminish the value of fellowship. If you want to stand alone, you are going to fall. I promise you. But if you want to stand with the Lord, you will stand with his people. Like them or not. Listen, being around people you don't like forces you to trust Jesus, doesn't it? Now, hopefully you're not in a church where you don't like everybody. But there's always going to be a few other Christians that you just don't like them. I don't mean that, you know, just the personalities just don't mesh well together as it does with someone else. That's okay. Doesn't mean you've got to go over their house for dinner and, you know, I don't really like you, but I have to do this and face my troubles. That's crazy. And don't go up and say, hey, I don't like you, but, you know, I have to, because we go to the same church, tolerate you. Do that either. Anyway, I those self-help books, you know, they tell you things that just don't work, that they never tell you as good as the Bible, and they make you feel guilty for not doing what that guy said. And so when you have an argument, you have to talk it all out. No, I don't. There's sometimes I don't want to. Look, I know I'm wrong, and I don't want to talk about it. I admit I'm wrong. I'm going to work on fixing it, but I don't want to talk about it. And yet somebody writes a book on how to have a happy marriage. They should have that tone on the book. You pull the string, how to have it. And then you listen to this guy come up with all these things. I can't do that. That's not me. What does Jesus tell me I have to do? Because that I can do. If Jesus tells me do this, then I know he's going to help me do it. But I don't want to listen to somebody else's rule book. Maybe it worked for his marriage. It doesn't work for my marriage. And then I walk around feeling guilty all the time, emasculated as a man often. Some of you men understand this. You know, somebody's trying to get you to conform to their image of masculinity, of what it means to be a man. You say, let me see. I don't find that in here. But how to be a man? I find it over here. Okay, enough. I got that out. I've been holding that for like 10 years. There's a lot more to it I'd like to give you, but God on purpose puts me out of time, I think. Just shut this guy up. All right. So he says, giving thanks. You can't thank if you don't think. And you cannot think straight if you're confused because you're full of yourself. Giving thanks always, it says. Oh, let me take that out. You might not like that. For all things to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we say in Jesus' name. We're reminded every time we love him. He died for us. And we're living for him as best we can. We're imperfect. We're going to fail. Try not to fail as much as the other guy. Isn't that a good assignment? Try not to fail as much as the other guy. When he's not loving on you, don't match him. And then he says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. That's the second outcome of being full of the Spirit. Joy and submission. This 21st verse belongs to everything we're going to say next session if we get to Ephesians again, Lord willing. Submission to one another. You men, any men here feel like you're lords of the home? You strut around like a little rooster. You're in authority. Everybody's got to shake and quake when you come into the room. Then you don't understand it. And I don't know anybody like that now. But there are some who are constantly telling their wives that she is to submit. Listen, whatever relationship, whether it's a wife or not, submission is one. It is. I don't mean singular. I mean it's you achieve it. People want to. Wives, you should respect your husbands. He's your champion. And once you have a wife saying, he's my champion, oh man, and then he can strut around at his home. That's right, because now he's going to do everything to protect her. One last, I can't wait. But a subject like that has to be dealt with a little bit more intensely. You know, Eve took Adam's name. When we do these marriage ceremonies, there are verse links, connections to why we do what we do. The father bringing the bride, God Adam asleep in God's will. The groom standing there like a pine stump at the waiting for the wife to come. Oh, swaying. Don't you pass out on me, boy. And so he's asleep in God's will, not fainting. And that's Adam was put to sleep so that the woman could come. And we know what Adam's response was. But it says he created them male and female. Don't you ever forget that. And blessed them. And call them Adam in the day they were created. It's translated mankind, but it's the same word for his name. She takes his name. She identifies with him.
This is Jonathan and the armor bearer. We're one unit now. We face everything together. But you can't do that if there's no submission to each other.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians with Pastor Rick. That's right here on Cross Reference Radio.